My name is Navin Anirudha Das. I'm from Zurich, Switzerland. I joined ISKCON in 1984. I'm the disciple of Raghunath Swami Maharaj. And I'm traveling the world to try to inspire and enlighten and enthuse devotees in the art of reading and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. That is my main service. So there are different courses which we're teaching. I just come from Tirupati, where we taught a 5-day leadership and management course under the LEAD program for all the temple presidents in the southern division, connected to book distribution. I was the minister of book distribution for ISKCON on the GBC for 8 years in the 1990s. So there's a number of courses which we have compiled, and a lot of them are still being taught around the world. My first visit to Coimbatore. I'm very happy to be here. By the calling of Bhaktivinoda Swami, we finally made it. So I'm happy to be here amongst all of you. If you say anything foolish, please forgive us. So, the schedule, do we have a clock in here? Does somebody have a... Okay. Yeah, these chairs are dangerous. You have to be careful. Thank you. So today we're running slightly late. We're supposed to run from 6 to 8:30. Tomorrow 10 to 1, 2 to 5, and Bhagavad Gita class, the usual evening Bhagavad Gita class. Then on Monday morning there's another session from 10 to 1 for those of you who can attend, who do not have jobs. Then in the evening 6 to 8:30. Now, we'll start kirtan at 6 and we'll start the seminar whenever the people are here. Because I understand some of you have a hard time making it at 6 o'clock. We'll try to be on time. It means I, as your facilitator, will be on time. I expect the same from you. We'll try to come as punctual as possible. So this is the overview of the course. We will go through some norms because this is a slightly different format of the course than what you might be used to. We are not running this as a... This is an academic course. It means basically there's certain rules for the classroom environment in order to get the best benefit out of the experience. And you have the traditional Vedic approach, or even nowadays in many universities you have one speaker, he speaks, the student who listens. So if you're going to do group works, we will have a lot of questions to you. So it's a slightly different approach than what you might be used to. So we have certain rules, certain norms for the classroom behavior. Number one, all members of the group are equal. That means there's no special status. In other words, you can't say, oh, I joined ISKCON 3 months before you, that's why my opinion counts more than your opinion. Or I'm senior in age to you, or I drive a bigger car, or I'm, you know, born on this side of the river, you're born on that side of the river, that kind of stuff. This doesn't fly. Because as a group, as students, you're all equal. Once you're out of the classroom environment, there is again seniors, juniors, this and that. I might be junior to you, to many of you, in age, but you have selected me as your teacher, so you have to bear with listening to a younger guy. Any objections? Can you all agree to this? You're comfortable? Okay. Otherwise, please speak up. Number two, all contributions are valid and valid regardless of whether one agrees with them or not. We want to hear from each and every one of you. What's your thoughts? What's your opinions? What's your realization? In that sense, there is no right or wrong. It's just different opinions. and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Number three, we will accept full responsibility for success in achieving our desired outcome. As the next thing, I'm going to ask you, what are your expectations of the course? What do you want to learn? What do you want to walk away from here in 2 or 3 days? Not that at the end you say, you know, it was fun, he told a few nice stories, a couple of jokes, it was kind of a nice thing, but I didn't really get what I came for. So, we all accept the responsibility for the success in achieving the desired outcomes together as a group, because there's a practical implementation part of this seminar. It is not just a talk show or an entertainment kind of a session. You're all okay with that? In accepting responsibility? Okay. Number four, we will confront issues or behavior, not people. In other words, we play the ball, not the men, as they say in soccer. I don't know whether that goes for cricket, but you don't tackle persons. We will not point fingers or say, this person does like this, that person does like that, in this place they're doing like this, in that place they're doing like that. We will speak about issues or behavior, not about people. Because otherwise, it doesn't work. People become offended. And number five, we will each agree to honor any agreement reached. If we come to an agreement, we will honor it. We will agree to implement it. So these are the regular norms for classroom behavior. I think some of you might be familiar to this. My friend Sureshwar was here a couple of days ago. And I heard you had a lot of fun with him. Okay, good. So, next. What is the topic? Can anybody tell me? Are you sure? Suppose. That's what you were told. Okay. It's always good to clarify the expectations, because otherwise you will have a lot of disappointed people. So, you came here to learn about book distribution. Now, I'd like to hear from you, what are your expectations of the course? And we will go around the room. Everybody can shortly state their name, where they're from, and what's your expectation of the course. And if somebody else has already stated the expectation, the same one, then please try to find something different. So, we will start here and then go around.
Expecting inspiration from you.
Can we have a scribe, please? Somebody can be the scribe who's got a legible handwriting.
Anybody to write on the board? Anybody volunteer to write on the board? Okay.
Okay.
Should on the right or the board?
Right.
Okay, please state your name and where you're from and your expectation of the course.
From Govichali Balayam. So I am expecting...
Your good name?
Maya Kumar.
Maya Kumar. Hare Krishna. And your expectation of the course?
Expecting a lot of inspiration.
Okay, inspiration. Thank you. You can stay seated because these chairs are not meant for getting up.
Hare Krishna, my name is Mani, NDC Mani. I come from Coimbatore. My expectations from the course is I want to distribute Prabhupada's books, read and distribute Prabhupada's books more, okay. As much as I can.
Okay.
So I need the association of senior devotees like you and inspiration from you to do that.
Association and read and distribute Srila Prabhupada's book. Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, this is Sivakami. I'm from Howell's Lake. I would like to have guidelines from you how to distribute.
Okay, guidelines on book distribution, thank you. Enthusiasm for book distribution, thank you. Okay, knowledge how to distribute books, thank you. Okay, become serious in distributing and reading, thank you.
My name is coming from Jaipur.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Brother Vishnu Das from Kunur. I want more knowledge to how to distribute more books.
Okay, knowledge how to distribute more books, thank you.
My name is Vishnumi, basically from Paimutu. What I'm expecting to go is to gain more knowledge by reading Prabhupada. That's the main thing.
Okay. Thank you.
It will enhance me to get myself involved in distribution and talking about the books that I have read to other people.
Thank you.
My name is Rajan. I'm right now residing in Paimutu. I think he has more or less spelled out what is in my mind.
Okay.
And the main idea is not only to distribute but to be able to explain something about those books to the people who have distributed. So that guy, those tips that we could give.
Okay, thank you.
I am Kitnesh Vagoda. I want to understand the importance of book distribution and learn the techniques of successful book distribution.
Okay, understanding, techniques. Please put your cell phone in silent mode unless you're a heart surgeon, which is on call. Otherwise, cell phone's off or silent mode. Thank you.
So I'm Omkar, I'm Rupani. I want to make it even more sincere and my discipline.
Okay, thank you. That's a humble request. Are you comfortable with holding the mridanga on the table? Otherwise you can't put it on the ground.
That's
mridanga. Okay. Otherwise I'm scared somebody might throw it, you know. Better put the instruments down. That's why they have these chairs. You know what's the reason why they devise these chairs for the students? So they can't get up and fight with the teacher, you know. Actually, I'm sure there is a lock mechanism, you know, if you press the button, it goes a lock, you know, you can't actually jump out. So
the control should be not there.
Exactly, you can press the button and it's lock and unlock, you know. And if they fall asleep, you have another one which gives you the electric shock, you know. I'm sure it's already all planned, you know. Any expectation? You're blissful as it is. Okay, that's nice. We're happy to have you. Thank you for being here.
Supervisor, I want to go for
distribution. Okay, how to distribute books. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, thank you. Expectation is something very specific. You know, we've heard inspiration and knowledge and that's all good and great, but try to be as specific as possible. Because in this world, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. So I'm your teacher. If you want to get something out of me, you have to tell me what you expect, what you want. Okay? So you have to be able to spell it out. Otherwise, it might not happen. And if you're vague, then whatever it is, that's what it is. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Inspiration, enthusiasm, what was the third one? I missed that one.
Distribution technique.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Yes? Association of Devotees. Well, thanks. Mm-hmm. for coming. You're in the right place for association with devotees. Today's his birthday, so we should give him special blessings by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thanks for being here.
My name is Chandrasekhar Raja. I wanted to collect more information from YouTube by Guru Krishna.
You?
And my Guru, I need more enthusiasm to distribute it. And expecting more from you.
Okay. We'll try to serve you.
My Guru Lord Krishna Raja. Basically, living in Melbourne. So, I want to get inspired more with that great and this is
thank you.
I am Gautam and Kinjada. I want to know how to convince the people to get the Prabhupada book. So they are already giving all the options.
You want to convince people to get the books of Prabhupada?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I am Anubhavada. I am from Manager. I want to know how to distribute more books and to get more information from Prabhupada. What Prabhupada comes to say about the mood and mission of the book.
Okay, mood and mission. Thank you.
I am Asif Gopinath. I want to learn the technique how to distribute books in education and schools.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna, I am Daya. I have given books to people I know, but I have never distributed books to strangers, so I would like to know how to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna, I am Pavana. I am actually a beginner with ISKCON. And I really want to convince people to buy the books that it's a real asset to them. The value of the book should be known to them, and they should feel that it's really worth it buying because it's elevating us to the higher level.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
What's the mood,
thank you. Mood, mission, knowledge. Okay, just whatever is not yet there, please add it. We have two people here in the middle who just came new. Please tell us your name, where you're from, and your expectation of the course.
I am Jagrat Kadara. I also personally want to know the mood and mission program, the distribution of books. And I want to get knowledge about it.
Thank you.
I'm Nanasi Gopi Jayadasi. I'd like to firstly convince about what is that and get distributed to others.
Get convinced and distribute to others. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, I am Gopal Gurudeva from Mysore. I would like to know about distributing books in colleges and corporates.
Colleges and corporates, thank you.
Akash Gurudeva, I want some training and develop people to distribute the robot books unlimitedly.
Unlimitedly, okay. Book distribution unlimited. All right. Let's see what we can do.
I am Jagat. I want to know techniques for how to do distribution code.
Techniques. Okay. Try for that. Good.
My name is Adaram. I'm distributing for the first time for techniques.
Okay.
I'm Shivakumar.
Yes?
I'm already in the distribution of books. I want to know new technique.
New technique. Welcome.
Sarvasya Gautha Haridas from Europe. I want to know the technique.
Okay. Maharaj.
I am a dirty guy who harass people constantly to ask them to distribute books that are not made for me. I just want to know how to keep them going.
How to keep them going run away from you or come back and distribute? Run out and distribute and come back? Both. Okay, good. Good. Alright, welcome. Bhai Maharaj calling that we finally made it here. I've ran away for a while, but finally I've come, so I'm happy to be here to serve you. Your good name and your expectation?
Krishna Kumar. I'm very non-committed about the quantity of the books that I distribute.
Okay. So you want to learn how to put out quantity?
Quantity.
Lacks and lacks of books.
At least in hundreds.
At least. In hundreds. Okay. Good.
There are some people outside also.
Yes. So, maybe we can open that ominous door and we'll just... Hare Krishna!
He's already involved in book distribution. He wants to know how to increase many fold the book and his distribution initiative.
We're happy to serve you.
I am very interested in distributing books. Sometimes I do not know how to distribute books, so I have come here to learn how to distribute.
Thank you. This is the right place and the right time.
This is Gunanidhi Prabhu. He wants to know how to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books.
Okay. Welcome.
She is preoccupied in looking for Lord Jagannath. She is here to do this book.
She wants to know how to do the cooking and the school. She doesn't want to miss out on the book distribution market.
Okay.
I am Madhu Gopal Das. I am here to also hear about how to distribute.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
I am Gopati Govinda Das. Everybody has got their own different devotional studies, even though we are doing some other. I should also know how to execute the Buddha distribution activity, because Prabhupada said you will be very much pleased if you see everything has got a process to achieve that itself. So I want to know more about the process, because I'm not much aware of it, but I know that. Everybody speaks about this issue. How to do it in a proper way and get the results of that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming. Sorry if I have already forgotten all of your beautiful names. I will just point with hands. So we're gonna
introduce my good friend Navina Nirada. Navina Nirada Prabhu is a star. It's rare to get to association and inspiration from those who are stars. He is a star in ISKCON. He joined ISKCON at a very young age of 15 years. And he has been a very, very powerful book distributor. Srila Prabhupada has expressed in no lesser terms his desire to have his followers extensively distribute his books, apart from studying them, living them, and preaching their contents. So he was instrumental in distributing tons of books in Europe and other places. And subsequently, he has been traveling extensively, training others to distribute books. He has been part of the development of a whole curriculum on a training program on how to distribute books. He was the world's best book distributor at times in his heydays. And after that, he has got into training others to distribute books. He was also the international book distribution minister for many years. And now he takes a lot of delight in traveling, preaching Prabhupada's books, content of Prabhupada's books, and also teaching people how to distribute those literature for the benefit of others. That's a very good combination, so I found it very interesting. And I've been behind him for 2-3 years, and things have come down here and inspire devotees here to distribute Prabhupada's books and understand the value of Prabhupada's instruction of preaching to distribution of books and satisfying him. So we'd like to welcome Naveen and Nirada here with a loud Hari Bol 3 times. Naveen and Nirada Prabhu ki.
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. All right, so by the end of this course, we should have covered these expectations. So we better be on our way, and this will naturally mean that you attend all the sessions, because otherwise your expectation might get covered when you're not here, and you might get upset, so we'd like you to attend all the sessions. Can somebody turn off these lights, please? Is there a power cord from the computer to the sound system? Does it work? That's too short. Does it work? Okay, so this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Maybe turn this
on. So he has to simply take instruction from Guru, and if we execute that to our heart and soul, that is very practical. I have no personal qualification, but I simply try to satisfy my Guru. That's all. My Guru Maharaj asked me that he could get some money to print books. So, there was a private meeting talking, some of my important God brothers also there, it was in Aravana. So, Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bhagavaja and Mahavir temple, there have been so many dissensions. Everyone thinking we occupy this room, that room, that. And I wish therefore to sell this temple and the marble and bring some food. Yes. So I took a book from his mom that is very fond of books. And he told me personally that he could get some money to print books. Therefore I am trading on this point. Very book, very book, very book. So kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute from the whole world. And Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So Srila Prabhupada has told us
what is the activity. And,
so, if the topic is clear, it's book distribution. It came out from all of your input, and also Srila Prabhupada has made it clear. So now,
when you have a task, it's like somebody comes to you in your company or at home or your family, and they start talking wild and loud, then the first thing you ask them is, okay, cool down, hold it. What is it exactly that you want me to do? Right? That's the first thing you ask them. What is it exactly that you want me to do? So, the topic is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. What's the next question you should ask?
How to go wrong with it?
Is that how? Somebody says where?
When?
Why? What comes first?
How many? What is the target?
How many? What's the target? Goals? Quotas? What's the first of all of these? What always comes first? Somebody says how? Who else has another idea?
Why
does why come first? Why is why always the first question? Like when the temple commander taps you on the shoulder and says, Prabhu, Krishna has heard your prayers. There is a lot of pots to be washed in the kitchen. And then your answer is, why me? Why always the little guy? Huh? That's the answer, right? So why is why the first question we have to ask?
You should know the objective.
Exactly. Because unless the objective is clear, the who, the where, the what, the when has got no meaning. It's got no ground to stand on. No locus standing. So the first comes the why. So why do we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books? Now what I'd like you to do as your homework is, you write down the 108 reasons why you distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Out of which, we will just, would like to hear the top 5 by tomorrow. So, you may have 108 reasons, but we just like to hear the top 5. And they should be your own personal reasons, which means, what do you feel strongly about? It has to come from your heart, from your gut feeling. It's not something you picked up, you heard somewhere, which might be right, which might be true, but it might not be your answer. What gets you motivated? So why is it important to know why we're doing what we're doing? Who has an idea besides the objective? What other reasons are there? But why do you want to spread the Krishna conscious movement? Yes, but the question is, why is why the first question, and why is it the most important question? Why is it so important that even in fact today, tonight, we're mostly going to speak about why we're doing what we're doing. We're not discussing much technique, we're not going to discuss much strategy, we're mainly focusing on why we're doing what we're doing, what is the objective, what are the principles and values we're going to do it by. Why is why so important? Please tell us.
Your attitude towards what you're doing.
Defines your attitude in what you're doing. Very good.
To give knowledge to others.
In the front and then Maharaj.
I think I would say I should be convinced that I'm doing the right thing. That conviction I want to carry. That's why I would like.
Because unless you're convinced,
yes,
you can't convince anybody else.
Yes.
Because the person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And if you are not convinced, you can't convince anybody else. So the first biggest job is to convince ourselves.
Level of acceptance.
Yes, because once you're out there with the books, what's the first question the people will ask you?
Why?
Yes, why? Why? Why are you doing this? I mean, come on, you're all educated, you're all sophisticated, you're all successful, you could be making money, real money, you could be enjoying life. You could be even engaged in your spiritual practice. Why is it that you're out here on the street or door to door presenting this literature?
Because
So not only the people will ask you why, who else will ask you why? Your family members, yes. Who is your closest family member? Your own mind, exactly. The fellow between the ears. Our own friend. Our lifelong companion. He will turn to you and say,
why am I doing this?
Why are you doing this? Why are you out here? I mean, you could be in nice AC room, you know, studying one of Prabhupada's books, chanting, doing puja, having your favorite, you know, cold drink or lassi or whatever. Why are you out here in the heat of the day trying to push these literatures? That's what the mind is going to ask you. And then you'd better have some damn good answers. Because otherwise you're not going to be out there for long. So, to convince ourselves means to convince our mind is the first and foremost duty. Because unless we're convinced, we can't convince anybody else. Maharaj, you'd like to share? Okay. Thank you. So, today we're going to speak why we're doing what we're doing. Because once that is clear, the who, the where, the what, the when, and the how becomes quite easy. Because it follows naturally from the why. And once we define what is actually the objective, what are we actually trying to do? So, also as your homework, I'd like you to write down three answers to the following two questions. What am I selling and what are people buying? Did you understand the question? What is it that I am selling and what is it that people are buying? We'll speak about that tomorrow, not today. When we devised this course, there was about 20 devotees involved, and it took quite a bit of time and effort to put this course together. We came up with 10 principles and values which effective book distribution is based upon. Can somebody explain to us what a principle is and what a value is?
No.
Maharaj, please. Could you explain to us what is a principle and what is a value? Sorry if I put you on the spot there.
No, I need to come back to the principle. Principle is like...
Maharaj just came back from Bangladesh, so... still has to adjust back to the...
Yeah, that's right. Principle is... Like rock, like lighthouses, by which everything else is guided.
Rock means it doesn't change.
It
stays.
It cannot change.
It's an axiomatic truth.
Yes.
It stays fixed.
Yes, yes. You work with that as a guideline.
Yes.
Values are those things that are achievable and you like to set a goal and work towards it as understanding their something like that. Not able to express it fully. There's a difference between principles and values in the sense that principle is something that don't change and values are something that can be changed based on the principle.
Okay. Somebody else likes to add something to that?
Norms.
Norms, okay.
Values are something which you cherish and you don't want themselves.
Something which you cherish
and which you would like to adhere to.
Adhere to, imbibe.
Imbibe.
Okay.
Based on the principles which
based on the principles which you're following. Okay?
Principles are like laws.
Principles are like laws. Very good. Okay, so we came up with 10 principles and values which book distribution is based upon. Because as you all know, you're all engineers and educated people. You start with the end in mind. What's the goal? What are you trying to achieve here? What's the bottom line? What are we trying to do? But that, getting back on the why, how are we going to get to the goal? What is the means? What is the format? What is the process by which we are attaining the goal? Like somebody says, the end justifies the means. But then the question is, where does it end? You ever heard that?
Yeah.
The end justifies the means, but where does it end? Meaning, if it's all about the end and not about how you get there, like in Bhakti Yoga, what is the goal? What is the goal of our process?
Reaching Krishna.
Reaching Krishna.
Reaching Krishna, yes. How do we reach Krishna?
By devotional service.
By devotional service. Now devotional service is none different from Krishna. So the goal and the process to achieve the goal are none different. So that means once you've attained, you're not giving up the process. Because the process and the goal are the same. You understand? Otherwise, if the goal and the process is different, then we just work hard and we make some money and then we buy whatever it is that we want to get. And the working hard has stopped, the money part has stopped, and you're happy to have what you've got. Now, why do we speak about this? Because a lot of times people see book distribution as a means to an end. They think that we're only doing this to achieve a certain objective, but once that has happened, it's not important anymore. And many people will argue, well, we have distributed lakhs and lakhs of Gitas, so that's been done. So now let's move on. The next phase. What's the second phase? What's the third phase? And so on. You heard that before, no? You've heard these arguments. But this is like a farmer who says, I'm not going to till the ground. I'm not going to plant anymore. I'm not going to put seed anymore. I did that last year. This year, I'm exclusively harvesting. Will he be very successful?
No.
Why not?
Only when you sow, you can harvest.
It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. So, these are the 10 statements of principles and values. You do not have to write them all down because you will get course materials. We want you to focus and stay with me. Watch closely and listen attentively. Thank you. Because there are copy machines and can pay people to do that job. We'd like you to be very attentive. If there is something which you find extraordinarily interesting, you're allowed to take notes. There will not be a test at the end. There will also not be an attendance certificate. It is purely for your own benefit. So, the test comes later. The test comes Tuesday morning when you're out there on the street with the book bag. That's the test. When it gets seen whether you have done your homework. So effective book distribution is based on long-term vision, customer care, devotee welfare, accurate representation, ideal character, honesty, sound spiritual practice, regular study, harmony with other services, and systematic training and education. And these are explained. I'd like somebody with a strong voice to read them out loud.
The long-term results of book distribution are more important than short-term benefits. Interaction with the public at the cost of the society's reputation is therefore counterproductive.
Thank you.
Customer care. The book distributor should endeavor to make every exchange with the public a positive experience, thus cultivating a favorable environment for continued book distribution and other preaching activities.
Devotee welfare. ISKCON nurtures the spiritual, physical, mental and emotional development of each book distributor by looking after their individual needs and providing them with realistic prospects.
Thank you.
accurate representation, members of the public evaluate ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna on the basis of their personal contact with devotees.
Ideal character. All group institutions are expected to display ideal character and interact with the public and politeness and respect.
Honesty. Devotees should be scrupulously honest in all their dealings with the public.
Sound spiritual practice. Consistently good sadhana is an essential source of strength, inspiration and character development for the
Sorry, that one got cut out. That was point number 7, right?
Yeah.
Something went missing there. For the book distributor and should not be neglected. Thank you. Point number
8. All distributors should be conversant with Srila Prabhupada's books through regular study and should thus become expert in presenting and selling books on their own.
Harmony with others are reasons. A mature book distributor appreciates the value of each devotee and their unique contribution and comprehends how all services are interdependent. Systematic training and education. Systematic training and education is essential in equipping the devotee engaged in book distribution with knowledge of the subject, necessary skills to perform the service, values and attitudes consistent with the representative of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you very much. So, you will get all these notes, we will get the student handbooks to you, even though we're not going through the full course. This is part of a 5-day course, it's called the Graduate Course on Book Distribution. It's a 30-hour course, we just taught it in Tirupati, and someday, maybe myself or somebody else can teach this course here. This course is mandatory for all full-time book distributors by GBC law, and it is very helpful. There's a lot of information, there's a lot of good stuff in here. But we're just going to do a few modules. We're just going to pick on some of the basic, most fundamental points. So, these are the principles and values which we will always refer to. Now, if you're not sure whether you are doing the right thing, whether you're doing what you should be doing, you can always check that against the principles and values. That is very important. Because sometimes we think like, okay, now, you know, okay, where is there a lot of people? Okay, there's a lot of people, where there's a lot of people, where they do these, you know, where they have these drinking places, no? Where it says wine this and wine that and the other thing. So let me just go out there and hang out there, you know, and talk to the people because there's a lot of people there and, you know, they're spending money. So could be good, no? To distribute books. Now, which one of the principles and values might be in jeopardy when you're consistently going to such places?
Sound
spiritual practice. What else?
Is it good for society? I mean, that you're presenting something which you feel will be good for society, whereas what they're doing, you feel is not good for society. So these are the two opposites that you were talking about.
Yeah, let me go back to the, so you see them all. Like most of them, ideal character, long-term vision, devotee welfare, accurate representation, you know, people may get the wrong idea. They may think, yeah, these Hare Krishna people, you know, they're like, they hang out in these kind of places, like that. So a lot of the principles and values are kind of in jeopardy if we go to the wrong place or we do it in the wrong way. So if you're not really sure of whether I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing it properly, I'm in the right state of mind, you can always check back with the principles and values. Because you might not be always in the situation that you have a Sankirtan leader or a temple president who is there, and you can check back with that person. course, all your strategies, all your projects should be authorized, but still, it is important to know for oneself. Srila Prabhupada wanted all the members of ISKCON to be independently thoughtful and self-reliant. We'll speak a little bit later about that. Now, when people meet you on the street, they have got three question marks on their foreheads. It's three question marks. What are the three things people want to know?
Why do you have to buy this?
Even before that.
Is it genuine?
Is it genuine? Where you come from?
Why is he approaching me?
Why is he approaching me? What's even before that?
Why should I buy this?
Okay, the first thing is, who is this fellow? Who are you? The second question is, what is this book? And the third question, the bottom line is, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? Nowadays, people are very goal-oriented, so usually they already get to the third question. Okay, what's your point? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? They don't care who you are and what you want to tell them and what you've got to share with them. Just what's in it for me? Now, if you want to learn how to distribute many books, this is something to write down and to remember. If you're able to plausibly, convincingly explain to the person in front of you, excuse me, in the first 20 or 30 seconds, without them even asking these questions, you give them the answer to these three questions, you've got a book distributed. Money back guarantee. If you can tell them who you are, what the book is about, and what's in it for them, they will take your book and give you a donation. It's as simple and easy as that. You don't have to explain to people the difference between Vishishtadvaita, Shuddhadvaita, Advaita, and, you know, the latest writings of Shankara. It's not necessary, because usually this topic is slightly above people's head. Now, some might be very interested in that, but the question is it our job to talk about those things? What is our job description? Distribute books. We're not out there to argue with people. We're not out there to smash people. We're not out there to destroy the opposition. We're simply out there to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, some people may object, and they may say, this is simply selling. And you know, I'm not interested in taking a course, a workshop on selling, because this is not my background, this is not my mindset, this is not my mentality. I know selling, now lately it's come up a little bit, but before in India it was not a very high regarded profession, was it? If you're a salesman on the street, is that an honorable job here in the South? Respectable?
No.
Not really. But then is being a servant a respectable job? Servant is kind of like, you know, the guy who sleeps outside of the house, you know, on the porch. Is being a servant a respectable job?
No.
Not really. Not really. Huh? Now, what is our aspiration in Krishna consciousness? No, we want to be the servant of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. That is our aspiration. So if you got problems being a servant or being a salesperson, don't bother. Number one, getting back to the point, what is it that I'm selling? We're not selling a product. We're not selling a commodity. We are sharing Srila Prabhupada's realizations, his devotional ecstasy, with the public. And as such, we are not selling a product, but we are simply conveying a message. Just like the postal peon. Sometimes he's delivering a check, sometimes he's delivering some good news, sometimes some bad news. He's simply the message deliverer. He's a carrier. He's a peon. So in the same way, you're simply bringing the message of the Lord to the people. We do not have any vested interest in this. So we are trying to spread, bottom line is, people will look at you And what you say is one part of it, but that's the very small part of it. Like when you walk away from this seminar, you know what you're going to remember? They have made studies about this, that what you actually retain from hearing is about 7%. More than 40% is the way how it was said. And almost 50% is body language and physiognomy. You ever heard this thing?
Please come again, the second point.
7% your actual words, if you write them down. 40% is the intonation of the voice, the way how you said it. Yes. And 50% physiognomy, body language, what you project. You ever heard the saying that your actions are, you're screaming so loud at me that I can't hear you speak? Your actions are screaming so loud that I can't hear you speak?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what's happening. So sometimes we go up to people, we say, hey you! Hey! Come here! Take this book! Come here, come here! Take this book, take this book. It's good for you. You know? It will make you happy. You become happy. You know? You become happy. Now what's the problem we got here? A person takes one look at you and his answer usually is, why don't you read your book yourself? Because it seems that you need it more than I do. Because my life was good up till the moment I met you. I had no worries till I met you. So, and actually it's a fact. If we are not practicing what we're preaching, you know, once everything is said and done, you have said your few sentences, and the people have argued their few arguments, and then you've asked them to give that donation, and then there is that silence. That's called the moment of truth. Huh? Where you hear the mosquitoes fly around. Huh? And you have heart palpitations. And you think inside, should I say something more? No, I shouldn't say something more. Yes, I should say something more. And you know that? That moment of truth, when everything is said and done, they take one look at you. Are you for real? Is this really going to give me happiness? Is this really going to make my life better? And then when push comes to shove, there it's based on your realization. And on your prayerful mood, on your connection with Prabhupada and Krishna and your spiritual master. Because, and you can write that down, you can learn about skills and techniques and mantras till the cows come home. Now the cows have already come home because it's dark. But you might speak about techniques for weeks and months without understanding that all these things are actually based on your realization and on your prayerful mood and attitude. There is no substance. I've seen people who were very talkative, very eloquent, very smart, very good in sales, and they could not distribute one book. It was impossible to them. And I've seen the opposite. People who are very introverted, very shy, very timid, not very articulate, could hardly say beep, and they distribute many, many, many books. I know a lady, she's in New York, she used to lose her voice periodically, so she just had a sign where she said, books on meditation and yoga, please give a donation, thank you very much, God bless. And I'm sorry, I've lost my voice. So she just handed this sign to people and she smiled. And the people took the book and gave her money. So, it is not so much what you say, but more how you say it. Have you ever been to a store or to any environment where people, what they said was correct, but the way how they said it turned you off?
Yeah.
Because it was coded by arrogance? It was coded by something which you didn't want to have anything to do with, so it just made you leave that place immediately? So that happens a lot of times. We may say the right thing. We may present the right thing. But because our attitude is somewhat off, we're not getting the point across. So the first underlying principle is our attitude. Why am I doing what am I doing? Who am I doing it for? Who do I try to please? That is very important. Because otherwise, if you're simply doing it out of social pressure, out of economic interest, out of whatever reason. Now you might say, initially there is so many reasons. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaraditi vrena bhakti yogina yajita purusha param. We give everybody the benefit of the doubt, whatever your reason is. I remember I started distributing books. I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew it was fun. And I knew I wanted to be the best at this. Now that's not exactly, you know, spiritual or transcendental. But hey, you have to work with what you've got, you know? You have to deal with who you are and with what you got. And then from there on, you try to elevate and you try to purify your desires. So social pressure doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing. But it has to be monitored. It has to be, there has to be somebody there who sets the mood, who sets the spirit, and who keeps the whole thing on track. So, we got slightly off the topic. We're still on book distribution. But the point was, who are you? What's this book and what's in it for me? These are the basic three questions. Now, who are you? Yes, but how do you relate that to the person? If you tell the person, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the maid servant of the gopis.
Stay outside.
They say, okay, you stay outside. Okay? Then you talk to my servant. I'm busy doing much. So who are you? I'm a distributor. Authorized distributor. Agent of such and such. Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Unlimited.
The first person who showed me how to distribute books, he introduced himself as a student. He was actually a student. So
you are whoever you are.
What you are.
If you are a student, you're a student. If you're a housewife, you're a housewife. If you're a college professor, you're a college professor. If you're an engineer, you're an engineer. If you're a swami, you're a swami. If you're a brahmachari, you're a brahmachari. You are whoever you are. Nobody can argue with that. Because nothing beats the truth. So it's very simple. It's very basic. When I started off, I was 15 years old. I was a student. I told people I was a student. They believed me. Later on, I told people I'm a monk. They believed me. Then I told people I'm a teacher. They believed me. Because you can't argue with the truth. Because it's the truth. It's as simple as that. So you don't need to explain yourself in a lot of, you know, eloquent language. You just say, this is who I am. Fair enough. The problem comes when you're a wannabe. You know what a wannabe is? Somebody wants to be somebody else. So you're faking it. You know, fake it till you make it. You pretend to be the renounced person, or the educated person, or the this person, or the that person. You know, it's all you, everything is gone. Purity is gone, cleanliness is gone, everything's gone. The only thing people still respect is truthfulness. They still have a perception of what is truthfulness. And they have that detector to find out if you're lying, if you're kind of bending and twisting and adjusting the truth in your favor. They always sense it, they always smell it. And it always comes back to you, it always bites you. So just tell people who you are. That's all there is. Now sometimes you can jump straight to point number three because they don't really bother about point number one or point number two. But you know what the problem is? You can even say to people, you know, I'm coming from here and I'm going over there and here's a book, take it and give a donation. And it works. It works. The problem is that unless you actually speak about the book, unless you actually glorify Krishna, unless you actually develop a taste for explaining Krishna consciousness and for speaking about the Supreme Lord, you will not be able to do this activity for a long time. You will simply see it as a mundane activity. you will simply see it as hard work. And thus, you will not want to do it for a prolonged period of time. So don't skip point number two, what's this book? Now you can go out and tell people, look, we're the good guys. We're feeding people. We're doing this, we're doing that. Give us money. They will give you money. And then you throw some books at them. And everybody goes home happy, right? Isn't that what happens sometimes?
Yeah.
But have we achieved our objective?
No.
Why not?
You're not told them about the book. They're not going to read it.
They're not going to read it. We have not been able to say something really valuable.
Only they will read it, make an attempt to read it when you speak something about the book. I think that should be the first moment.
They will read the book because you asked them to read the book. And because you have said something which was attractive to them, which they felt intrigued about, so they became actually interested to read the book. You know, the desires of the devotees is something very powerful. You can write down in your book, consciousness creates reality. Whatever is in your consciousness, in your chetta, you project it in people's consciousness, and it creates reality. And you learn that on Sankirtan, on book distribution. If you think that this fellow has got no money, all of a sudden he goes, oh, I left my wallet in my office. Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah.
Halfway through the communication, somehow your mind convinced you to think that this person has got no money. And even though he was a respectable person, all of a sudden he had no money. Why? Because you thought so. And because you chanted Hare Krishna and your thoughts are powerful, you projected your thoughts to that person. Now you may call that mind control, projection, power of projection. I call it the desire of the devotee. Because between Krishna and his devotee there is a competition. Krishna wants to fulfill the desire of the devotee. And the devotee wants to fulfill the desire of Krishna. So, we have to be careful what we desire. We have to be careful what's in our consciousness. Just like one time, I was in Mayapur a couple of months back, and I saw one of the Gurukul leaves, and he had an iPod Nano. You know, this small little iPod, 16 GB. You can have all the Prabhupada's books on it. Small little thing. Now, this is not an advertisement, not a paid advertisement, but just I contemplated. The next day, my good old friend Brahma Muhurta, who was BBT trustee from Northern Europe, he came and he gave me a gift. And he said, this is for you. And I opened it. And what was inside? iPod Nano. With engraving, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And it had my name there. And first I was very happy. But on second thought, I was a little sad. Because I thought, why did I desire like that? Why did I have this ambition, this motivation? So as devotees of the Lord, or aspiring devotees of the Lord, we got to be very careful. What do we wish for? Because it might come true, and you might not like it. So, when you're preaching, when you're distributing, always make sure that what's in your consciousness is very clear, is very pure. Now how are we going to do that? We're going to speak about that. I'm just telling you, be aware of it. Because your thoughts are powerful. And when you project them, they're actually going to come true. So we got off the topic, and we got to backtrack.
Second point is, what is in the book?
Second point, exactly, what is in the book. And we're going to have a whole session tomorrow about how to present Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. Because it's not just 900 pages of paper with some cardboard and some picture on it. It's not a commodity. There's a way how to present it. There is some basic outline, there is some questions, there is some interaction. Point number two, very important. What's the book? Because this is really the essential point. Otherwise people will not read it, they will not really be able to appreciate fully. They will have the book, fine, fair enough, but we want them to read the book. And then point number three, what's in it for me? The bottom line. Vested interest, yes. What can the person get out of this?
Happiness.
Happiness? What else?
Money.
Knowledge, what else?
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
Pure devotion.
Pure devotion, Maharaj.
Your problems get solved.
Yes. Solve your problems.
Peacefully living.
Peaceful.
Living.
Living, yes.
Direct access to Lord Krishna.
Direct access to Lord Krishna.
Prabhupada's mercy.
Prabhupada's mercy.
Prabhupada's
teachings, parampara, eternity, knowledge and bliss.
Change of life for the better.
You know something that your neighbor doesn't know.
Okay, you got the edge. You got the advantage. In your whole housing complex, you'll be the smart guy. You know, I go up to people and I say, we're showing these today to all the smart people. Are you one of the smart people? Try it once. You have to qualify the prospect, you know? Everybody wants to be special. You ask people, huh? This is for all the nice people. Are you one of the nice people? And you'd be surprised how many people are nice, how many people are smart, and how many people are well behaved. Now they might look a little rough on the edges. They might not be exactly in that mindset. But just because you gave them the benefit of the doubt, now please write that down, giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know what that expression means? Can you explain it, Maharaj? When somebody comes to your office, and just by them walking into the door, you already know what's going to happen. You already know what's on their mind. You can already hear the problem. But what do you have to do? What does it mean giving a person the benefit of the doubt? Now here comes somebody who has a lot of experience with this. So please listen carefully. What does it mean to give the person the benefit of the doubt?
You open yourself to them, don't judge him.
You open yourself to the person, don't judge the person. What else?
Take him into full confidence.
You take him?
Into full confidence.
Into full confidence. What else?
Give him a full hearing.
Give him a full hearing. Okay.
He is going to say the right thing. He is right actually.
He's right because whatever he says, that's how it is for him. So, the person basically is sincere. If you only learn one thing from this entire seminar, it's got to be this thing. If you want to distribute Prabhupada's books, you have to actually like the people. I asked my friend, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, who is an Ayurvedic doctor and also an allopathic doctor in Mumbai, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, what is it that makes a person qualified to become a doctor? Because, you know, it's quite a long process. He said, bottom line is, you have to be able to feel the pain of people. If you can't feel the pain of people, you can't be a doctor. So basically, if you want to be a preacher, you want to be a leader, you want to be a counselor, you want to be somebody who cares for others in this Krishna consciousness movement, you have to be able to feel their pain. You have to be able to share that pain. And you have to actually like the pain. Now we may say, materially speaking, I don't like people, you know? I'm from a small place. I'm kind of antisocial. I like to keep to myself. I prefer it in my own four walls, you know. I like to do my own thing. But why is it that we make this proclamation that you have to like the people? What's our philosophy? What's our Krishna conscious theology? What's our attitude towards living energy?
You're all creatures of God, devotees of God, and you are spreading His message, not yours.
Okay, it's not about me. It's about Krishna and His teachings. And all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, they are my eternal brothers and sisters. Now, as you know in your family, you might have a brother or an uncle or, you know, some in-laws who you're not particularly fond of. But they're still family, right? So you still have to live with them for the better or the worse. Because they're family, right? So in the same way, our attitude should be in a bigger context that these are eternal brothers and sisters, you know? And eventually, if we want to work for their benefit, we have to accept that. And we have to actually accept them and like them as such. Because if you dislike them, even though what you're saying is true, but your talk will be coded, will be jaded. There will be that coding of arrogance, of derogatory attitude, and that person will feel it and will pick up on it. And it will inhibit the person. It will stop his spiritual process, a progress. It will inhibit his growth. So this is a very, this service is something unique. It is not that we just, you know, carry bricks from one side of the building to the other side. You know, if you want to be a heart surgeon, it takes you a few years to study this job. Any medical practitioners here? How many years did it took you to become a medical practitioner?
I am a medical practitioner.
Yes. Even that, how many years did you study?
3 years old and 2 years back.
Okay, so 5 years. And that's after all his other studies were completed. So if you want to be a surgeon, if you want to be a heart surgeon, that's the top league, the elite, the Ivy League of surgeons, the heart surgeons. You don't actually practice on a live person before you're 30, you know. It takes you a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of study. Now, when we go out and we present Bhagavad Gita and we preach Krishna consciousness, that's exactly what you're doing. You're a spiritual heart surgeon. You're opening up people, you're taking us, ahankar, anardas, other things, you're putting in their good qualities, bhakti, and you're closing it up, and you put the person back on the road gently, and you make sure they're alright. So, it takes a little time to learn this. So don't be too hard on yourself. It may not come to you in 2 or 3 days. You may get the basics. Then you have to go out and practice. If you're fast at this, it will take you a couple of years. And you will get the gist of it. You get a hang of it. But if you really want to become good at this and get it down, it will take you a little while. If you see those fellows throwing those balls, trying to hit those three little sticks, you know, that cricket thing, how many balls do you think they have thrown? Huh?
Plenty.
Plenty. Yes, plenty. So the question to you is, are you ready to put in the time and the effort it takes to know, to learn what it takes to make a difference in a person's life? It's not just that you pick up a few skills and then you walk out there and you do it. You might get it, but you know there's different levels. So everybody starts from where you start. What I'm trying to get at here is that there is unlimited scope of progressing. If you want to distribute Krishna consciousness, if you want to attract living entities to Krishna, it is not something external, it is not something schematic or cheap, but it is something very profound, and it has a lot to do with your desire. It has a lot to do with the state of the heart. In French they call it raison d'être. Who speaks French here? I know there's some colleges here. They don't teach Sanskrit anymore. They just teach French. I heard. The top college in Coimbatore.
We have Alliance practice.
Yeah. You have?
Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teaching French.
Yes. So, raison d'être means the reason to be. It means your purpose of living, your sense of being. It's like a mission. What's your mission? So as such, it is important for us as preachers of this Krishna consciousness movement to be very clear on what's our mission statement, what's our reason to be, what are we trying to achieve here. So the goal of the operation is not just to move products, not just to get a lot of books out there, but the goal of the process is to attract a whole lot of living entities to Krishna and to engage them in devotional service. As such, we came up with a list of aims. What are the aims of book distribution? Because they got to be aims. These are the goals of the book distribution process. Can somebody read it out loud, please?
To fulfill the desires of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara for mass book distribution. To introduce large numbers of people to the philosophy and practices of Krishna consciousness, thus providing spiritual education and opportunities to engage in devotional service. To make available that knowledge by which society can be successfully organized to meet everyone's needs, both material and spiritual. To directly engage people in the service of Lord Krishna. To begin the process of devotional exchange between the society and the individual members of the public. To provide further information and opportunities for devotional service through continued interaction with the society. For self-purification. To create auspiciousness in society. To firmly establish the authenticity of ISKCON. To contribute towards a healthy economic foundation for each temple or preaching program. To offer financial support for international ISKCON projects. To establish the understanding that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to deliver the world from the clutches of atheism and impersonalism.
Okay, now any of you remembers the seven purposes of ISKCON, which were written down when Srila Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON in the 60s in New York?
To create a society of devotees.
Yes. Yes.
To fulfill Prabhupada's desires.
That's a part of it. Anyone else?
The systematic study of the Vedas, instills practice in the Sanatana Dharma.
Okay, let's hear them. Can you read out loud, please?
To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world.
Now I'd like to know whether this is related to book distribution, whether book distribution is in connection to that.
Yes.
And we're going to do it by either saying Hari Bol, or you can also, you know, do like the cows do.
Hari
Bol. Who wants to do cow and who wants to do Hari Bol?
Hari Bol.
You want to do Hari Bol? Okay, you can do Hari Bol. So, say loudly Hari Bol if this is related to book distribution.
Hari Bol!
To propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Related?
To bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna.
Hari Bol.
To teach and encourage the Sankirtana movement, congregational chanting of the holy names of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Hari Bol.
To erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastime dedicated to the personality of Krishna.
Hari Bol.
Why you say Hari Bol? How is this related to book distribution? Support the ISKCON project, yes, but here you're speaking about making a holy place, transcendental pastimes. How is this related to the book? Building temples? Okay. How should we build our temple?
Yes, revenue
from book distribution.
We're not running out with a receipt book and a briefcase? No?
Do that.
This brings more number of people. That brings less number of people.
Okay. Actually, most of the projects, the sustainable ones at least, they were built by preaching and by book distribution. Because the people will actually stay, and those who did it will also stay. Next.
To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. With a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, books and other writings.
Okay. So you can see, these are the seven purposes of ISKCON. Book distribution is an integral part of fulfilling these seven purposes. This is what Prabhupada created his movement for. This is what he wanted us to do. So, let's figure out how to do it, right? Now, what's in it for me? What does a person get out of this? That is kind of individual, you know? Because you have to see what's the person's motivation. What's the person's inclination? What is the person looking for? Basically, ultimately, everybody's looking for Krishna. They may not know it, they may not call it Krishna, but bottom line is, everybody's looking for Krishna. Now, whichever place I go, I ask the devotees, what's the biggest obstacle to increasing book distribution here? And usually I hear the same answers. Oh, people don't really read much here. And then, you know, I'm in the airport or in the trains or in the buses and I see everybody's reading. Well, what are they reading? They're reading newspapers, they're reading magazines, they're reading, you know, SMS, emails. Everybody's reading. The question is, what are they reading? Gossip, Gramya Katha, but everybody's reading. Huh? And then all the other variety of excuses, you know, no time, no money, no this, no that. But basically speaking, everybody is looking for what? Everybody is looking for beauty, for strength, for happiness, for knowledge, for renunciation. What does that mean? They're looking for Krishna. Krishna has all these qualities. So if we learn how to present Krishna in an attractive way, they will be interested and they will want to get the book.
I'm not so sure about the renunciation part of it.
You're not so sure about the renunciation part of it. Renunciation, externally speaking, may not be attractive if you present it like that. But you know what everybody's cherished desire is? To be well without needing anything. Yes. What does that mean? That's renunciation. It means you don't need the world anymore. You're at peace. Isn't it that what they say? You know?
Yes.
He was at peace with himself. He was equipoised. He was content. He was a happy fellow. He got to the point of, you know, and they don't call it renunciation. They call it whatever, you know. You've achieved, you're saturated, or you're burned out, or there's so many names for it. But ultimately, actually, people still admire renunciation. If you're able to say with an honest heart, thank you, but no thank you, I don't need it, I'm fine. People respect that.
Yeah, choose your contentment.
Exactly. So, the point, but it's a very good argument, it's a very good point, because people don't call it what we've just called it, you know. The terminologies are different. It's just like you drive from the airport to here, you see so many billboards, so many signs. Just to give you a hint, what are they selling? They're not selling products, they're not selling commodities, they're selling dreams. They're selling aspirations. They're selling hot air. You understand? It's not about what you buy and what you drive and what you drink and what you wear. It's your dream of happiness, of sophistication, of living a fulfilled life, or at least living it large, you know? Not even fulfilled. So when people meet you, they're looking at three things. be getting back to Book Distribution 101, because this is an introductory course. So from the more abstract, we're getting to the concrete. When people approach you, they're looking at three things. What's the first thing? No. They're looking at. It's looking. It's visual. It's not thinking. No. The first thing you look when you meet a person. The face means the smile. There is three S. S, S, S. So the first thing they see is your smile. Because you can be talking about happiness and fulfilled life and success and this and that. They take one look at your face. And it's either on or it's off. Just by looking at your face. So your first and foremost duty as book distributors is to be ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. It's to be blissful. That's what it's all about. Because that's what people remember. I met a very happy person. And what are they buying? Just to give you some hints. They're buying you. They're buying that smile. They're buying that experience, that moment of happiness. That's what they're buying, not the product. So the first thing they see is the smile. What's the second S stand for?
Sincerity.
No, that's too profound. That's too deep, you know. I know you give people the benefit of the doubt. I know that. You are very generous. It doesn't go that far. What's the second thing people look at?
How you present yourself.
No. No, way more mundane, your shirt. That's what they see, your smile and then your shirt. And the next, the third S. No, way too sophisticated. Your shoes, exactly, or the lack thereof. Now, I don't know how about here, but in Switzerland, if you go up to people barefoot, or you have broken footwear, your deal is off. So you are that surgeon who is on call. I knew it. Now, you might think that my dress is very renowned, you know. It kind of shows that I'm very renowned like that. But people will not have that appreciation. They do not have that realization that having a torn dress will be a sign of a very elevated and renowned person. But people are still seeing the surface, you know. They perceive the outside. And there is still that perception. Like the smile is very important. Once I was doing crowd control in Mayapur, and Hari Sori came to me and told me the Prophet had said to him that when you do crowd control, you have to push, because that's the job. But never stop smiling. If you smile, you can push a lot. But that moment you stop smiling is the moment people will get very angry and very upset with you and rebel.
They retaliate.
But if you keep on smiling, you can push a lot. Because, you know, you're a happy fellow. So remember that when you distribute books. When you smile, you can push a lot. But usually we have the saying, when the person says three times no, you let them off the hook. Okay? Now, sometimes people say one time no. And no means no. And no can mean move out of the way, or I pick you up and put you down and walk over you. So sometimes, by the way how people say no, you should get the message. But in general communication, if somebody says something three times, you should understand that, you know, my prophet says, please distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. It means he actually means it, you know. It's not just a nice thing to say. It's not just a matter of speech. But the man is actually serious about it, you know. So somebody says no three times, let them go. But a lot of times no will also mean I'm slightly confused. What are you talking about here? Or can you be more specific? Can you be more clear? Or I'm not exactly in the right frame of mind right now to deal with this. So can I look at this a little later? So no may mean a whole lot of things. Now sometimes no means yes and yes means no. No, especially the men scratch their heads, you know, but ladies understand perfectly well. And a lot of times, you know, yes means no and no means yes. But for us, you know, it's like clear cut, right? Yes is yes and no is no. A man is a word, right? Right? You have to be able to count on people. You can't budge like that. But you know, when you're dealing with people out there, it's a lot about emotion. Now I know that's a very broad topic, and a lot of you might be slightly scared about this topic, but what is Krishna consciousness all about? What are we trying to achieve here? What are we trying to develop?
Love.
What is love?
It's an emotion.
We're trying to develop love for Krishna. So we shouldn't be scared to utilize our propensity for emotions and use it in Krishna's service. Because book distribution and preaching is not a theoretical activity. It is not something just pragmatic. You have to put your heart into it. You have to put your emotions into it. You have to actually feel what you say. Because otherwise the point is not going to get across. If you're saying, hello, welcome, and goodbye. Hello, welcome, and goodbye. Hello, welcome, and goodbye. 50% discount, 50% discount, 50% discount. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, buy Bhagavad Gita. You think a lot of people are going to be convinced and attracted by that? No. Even though you might say the right thing. But you just, it doesn't really click. It doesn't really gel. So, preaching means conveying emotions. Like you saw Prabhupada in his class. He made some very deep, very profound points. And he made them in a very gentle, in a very sober, in a very deliberate way. And it was like he's dropping bombs, you know? It was really heavy. It's pretty deep, you know. Now you might scream and shout and yell, but you can't really reach people like that. Because it's not about the volume, it's not about the tonality, it's about connecting to people. And connecting bridge to bridge. And to connect means you have to understand where the person is and you have to accept them. Because bottom line is, if you don't accept them, they will not accept you. If you don't take interest in them, they will not take interest in you. It's as easy as that. So, we have to get back to the point of being able to appreciate people and to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're sincere, that they're honest, that they're good people. They remember saying about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, dhira dhira janak priya priya karo nirmantara bujito. They were dear to the gentle and to the ruffians. Why? Because they had no vested interests. They were not in it for themselves. They saw themselves as the servants. And as such, everybody liked them. When Sanatana Goswami died, half the people in Braj, half the men shaved their head. Because they considered him family. They considered him one of their own. Why? Because he came around and asked them, how are you doing? How are the kids? How are the animals? How is it going? Now you may say, he's Sanatana Goswami, he's a Swami, he should be preaching Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He was not holding Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam classes to the Brijbasis. But he was simply being there as their friend, as their guide, and as their counselor. And that's why they loved him dearly. So, back to the point. Smile, shirt, shoes. Huh? Now it's not that you have to wear suit and tie and be very sophisticated Just dress appropriately to the occasion, and people will be able to accept it and like it. Now, if you're in a professional environment, like in businesses or in colleges, pants and shirts might be more appropriate. Sometimes you can't get in if you wear dhoti kurta. So you have to see what's adequate like that. But don't be too rigid either way. It's very nice if you can wear devotional dress, devotional attire, and tilak. That's wonderful. In certain situations it might not be appreciated. It might not fly. So then don't be too stuck on that. Do you understand the principle? Once you understand the principle, you can adjust the detail. Now what's the principle here? The principle is to preach and to share Krishna consciousness. And the detail is time, place, circumstance. Where you do it, how you do it, in which dress you do it, in which cultural context you do it, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Just to give you an example, when Srila Prabhupada was in America, when he arrived, he was in Butler, Pennsylvania, which is a little town. And he was there for more than 5 months at the home of Sally and Gopal Agarwal, who were his sponsors, who invited him. Now, the devotees asked Prabhupada, why didn't you come to New York earlier? I mean, nothing happened in Butler, you know? What do you do there? Prabhupada said, never think I waste my time. I was doing my homework. I studied the American people. You understand? He wrote a letter to a friend in India. Tonight I'm going to an Indian classical dance performance. Now I'm a sannyasi. I've got no interest in seeing a woman dance. I have not seen Indian dance in 40 years. But I'm going for two reasons. Number one, I want to see how the American people receive our Indian culture. Number two, I want to see what are the social interactions. How do people deal with each other? So Prabhupada studied the mindset and the way of the behavior of the American people. And then he went to New York and he started his ISKCON movement. Because the cultural context is very important. You understand what I'm getting at here?
Yes.
The bridge, understanding and accepting where the person's at, accepting them for who they are, and appreciating their mindset, and then taking them on the journey, going with them. Not dropping them, but going with them to the other side. That is preaching. Just like cultural context is very different. A few weeks ago I was in Mayapur, and my accountant, you know, we had a discussion and we were kind of in a happy mood, so I tapped him on the shoulder, you know? Like, this is social, this is what you do in the West when you're happy, you know, with friends, like that. You tap each other on the shoulder. Now he had that look on his face like, why you hit me, you know? You know that, like, he was slightly distraught. Because in Bengal, that's not what you do. Now, then I went like this, and said, Hare Krishna. Then he started smiling. Then he was happy. Now, if I go up to Maharaj and I pat him on the shoulder, because he knows, he can appreciate it. He likes it. If you have a westernized person, you can shake their hand. They like that. They insist on doing that. That's their way of greeting each other. If you want to do that in South India, to a housewife, you go there and you want to shake her hand, it doesn't really fly. You understand that expression? It doesn't fly? It means it doesn't work. It's not appreciated. It's not the way how you do things. No? Or, to give the contrary example, you're in Mayapur and you want to get something done. Just in case, if ever you're in Mayapur and you want to get something done. Okay? Here comes the insight. After 26 years, it took me a while to figure it out. You want to get something done. What do you do? I have to get up to do this. Looks like a barber's chair. So, if you're in Mayapur and you want to get something done, what you do is, you don't just go up to the person and you say, okay, I want to do this, this, and this, and this. The person will hate you. The person, you know, it's like, you don't exist. But what you do is you take their hand, you hold their hand, and you rub it gently. Have you tried?
Yes.
Maharaj, does it work?
Huh?
It works wonders. Okay, you hold their hand, and I can see he already starts to like me, you know? Now if you do that in America or in Switzerland, it means something different. It is not exactly it's not exactly appreciated. It evokes a different response. So you understand cultural differences, and now you might say this is off the topic, let's get back to this. But this is the topic. Because you see, everybody has got their defense mechanism. And what's the main two things which people have, you know? There is fear of rejection. So why are devotees scared to go out and distribute prophet's books? Number one fear is fear of rejection. That people reject you. They say no to you. And you're scared of that. Because we all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. So how do you get over this? Well, number one, learn to accept the person for who they are, what their mindset is. And number two, deal with them on the level of the heart. Which means you allow them to drop their guard. They don't have to keep up their defense. You allow them to actually be the best they can be. And then you deal from heart to heart. And then you'll see everybody's actually a nice guy. Everybody's actually, you know, they're actually sincere. They're actually nice people. It's just if two egos get together, then it's like you have a nuclear fusion, you know? Boom! You have that reaction. You ever experienced that reaction?
Plenty of times.
Plenty of times, isn't it? In all circumstances. Like if I go up to you and say, I want this, this, and this, and I want it pronto, yesterday. Now, in certain places that can work, but in most situations, unless there is a relationship, this is a serious withdrawal from the emotional bank account. You're familiar with the concept of the emotional bank account? You have an emotional bank account with every person? And you have to put deposits? Otherwise, if you take out too much, you go into red, you go into minus. Huh? And that's true not just for friends and for family members and on the job. That's true for preaching also. If you go up to the person and immediately you tell him, listen to me, accept what I say, and give me your money, it's not going to work. So what did Srila Prabhupada do? Because we're studying his life. And we're seeing him. He's our acharya. The founder acharya. What's the example he gave? He went to America. He cooks for them, he served them prasadam, he cleaned, he counseled them, he did bhajan and kirtans for them. He was there as their friend, as their guide, as their well-wisher. And what happened? What was the result of that? Maharaj, see?
They offered themselves for the
mission. He won their hearts. Yeah. Prabhupada never asked, initially, he never asked. Do this, do that. He just gave. He just gave. He just gave. And in this way, he endeared everybody so much that they just wanted to stay. Because the temple was such a nice place. Because Swamiji was there for them. And he cared so much for them that they didn't want to be out there with their old friends and their old habits. But they wanted to be with Swamiji. So that's exactly what happened. So bottom line is, if you like the people and you allow them to drop their defense mechanism, to drop their guard, you can actually communicate on the level of the heart, you give them the book, and basically speaking, they accept you as their guide. Now they actually want to buy you. They actually want to take you and take you home. Because that association, that moment of Sangha, is so real. It's truthful. It's genuine. It's reality. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is as good as it gets. Because people have big dreams and aspirations for the future. They have lamentation about the past. But nobody lives in the moment. When you start going on book distribution, you start actually, can you hear it for translation? Is it going on? Okay, I gotta get back to the mic. I'm sorry, I got overly elated here. So, sorry for that. The point was, where did I?
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection, yes. Everybody's afraid to be rejected. So how to overcome that? You have to realize you're an eternal servant of Krishna. If people are saying no, they don't say no to you. They may say no to your body. They may say no to the externals. But they can't really reject you because they don't know who you are. So don't be offended. Don't be discouraged. Ultimately, everybody wants Krishna. It's just a matter of time till they actually will appreciate Krishna. So rather, we should work on our own purity, on our own determination, and our own expertise that we can present Krishna in a more attractive way. And the second thing why a lot of devotees have a hard time distributing Prabhupada's books, now you might think I shouldn't talk about the hard times, but you know, we have to give you realistic prospects here. And these are the main two reasons why devotees don't engage in book distribution or why they stop book distribution. Number one, fear of rejection. Number two, when you go out and distribute books, Krishna puts a mirror in front of your face and says, this is you. This is who you are. You get a really clear assessment of your own personality. And you may not like that. Because we don't like to see what, you know, the reality check, that inventory, to be faced with our own demons, to be faced with our own shortcomings, to be faced with our own anarthas and our own desires and our own ego. But that's exactly what's happening. Now that's, personally speaking, that's one of the reasons why I love book distribution. Because if I need a reality check, I just pick up that book and I go out on the street. And immediately that mirror comes up. You know, it's like when you have a map and you see on the map, you have your goal, right? Where you want to go. But any map doesn't make any sense if you don't know what? How to go? No. The first thing you look at is always that big red dot, and it says, you are here. If you don't know where you are,
you do not know where to go.
You do not know where to go, exactly. And it sounds a little simplistic, but it's a fact. So we might think ourselves as great this, great that, or lowly this, lowly that, but unless you actually pick up that book and make that effort to go out and talk to people, you can't really see clearly where you are at in your own Krishna consciousness. So it gives me a very clear definition of not only sense of purpose and mission, but also where I am and what the progress that I made and what are my shortcomings, what are the points where I still have to work on. Remember, in which industry are we in? Is it textile? Is it spirituality? Okay, but if you want to define it as an industry,
selling,
what service, what industry does that fall under? We're in the service industry. We're the servants. Dasa, dasa, no dasa. And as such, there is a concept. It's called ABS. Always better service. That should be our motto. That should be our slogan. Always better service. And that means after every encounter, after every engagement, at least after the day, sit down and write down what went well, what didn't go so well. What can be improved? How can I improve it? To get a clear perspective on things. Otherwise we may think we're doing fantastic here. But we're not just... It's, you know, Krishna consciousness and book distribution is not just about feeling good about yourself. I can give you a seminar about how to feel good about yourself. If you want, I can do that. It's going to cost you, you know, because I can charge for those type of seminars. These type of seminars I don't charge. Only mercy. Like, My fee, my commission is 10% of your mercy. Whatever mercy you're getting from your guru and from Prabhupada, 10% is my commission. That's very, very honorable. It's very reasonable to you. No compound interest, you know? Like, however many people you inspire to go out to distribute, you get full, you know, you get the full 10% of those people. But I just want 10% of your mercy, okay?
More costly.
More costly, yes. So the point was, where did I get off?
Always better service.
Always better service, service industry, exactly. That is very important. We have to keep that in mind, to have that service attitude. And service means, first comes the need, then comes the product. There has to be a real need in the project, in the prospect. Book distribution satisfies a real need in the living entities. We're not just moving some product here. There is a real need out there. Just like when I came here, I asked, what are the main activities here in Coimbatore? And I heard, there's a lot of education, there's a lot of colleges, a lot of hospitals, a lot of textiles, a lot of different things happening. Now I see there are so many institutes for technology and for management. But where is the institute for teaching people about the difference between a dead body and a living body? Where is it? Where is that institute which teaches people about happiness of life, about a goal of life? It's not there. It's here.
Bhaktivedanta
Academy. Exactly. It's right here. But besides that, there's no college which teaches these things. So, always remember, when you go on book distribution, there will be objections. There will be doubts, there will be criticism. That's natural. Now to have doubts is a sign of intelligence. But there's also the saying, what a fool won't ask, what a goat won't eat. So some people may go on doubting continuously, because the point is they do not want to get clarification. They simply want to argue. You know, they're what we call tarkis, you know? Tarko pratishta. They're simply into argument. So, especially in South, I think you should be a little bit apprehensive of getting into arguments with people. Now, just to give you a practical point here, little tip. After having wasted countless hours with members of other faiths and with people who want to argue, if you meet somebody who wants to argue, what do?
Keep quiet.
You keep quiet, yeah, that's one thing. But the nicest thing to get off the hook I've seen is that you tell them, look, I'm a simple fellow, but the smart people, they're at our temple. So why don't you come on Sunday? Because there's some people who can satisfy your questions and who can discuss with you much better than I can. Like if you don't know something, just say, I don't know this, you know? It's not a problem. Rather than make up something, just say, I don't know this. Everybody will accept that. But if you're trying to fake it, then it will come back and bite us. Because, you see, Krishna is a very kind Lord. He's more interested in us making spiritual advancements than that person actually gets the book. Now, some devotees might not understand this initially. They may say, hey, I mean, I'm out there trying to distribute prophet's books, and you're trying to tell me that, you know, sometimes people, they have that look, and they look at you, you know, the moment of truth comes, and then something inside them tells them, don't take this book. And I can tell you who that is. That's a super soul. If Krishna sees that you're too attached, or you're not really convinced, Krishna tells them, don't take it. Now you might say, no, it's the mind, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. But a lot of times it's Krishna. You know why it's Krishna? Because Krishna is more interested in us making spiritual advancement and becoming detached. Now somebody might become quite upset and say, hey, what is this? You're telling me Krishna works against me? You know? Why doesn't he go out and sell his own books? Why does he ask me to do the job? And then he works against me, you know, like a traitor. It's just unfair. As Super Soul, he's got much more potential than I do. So why is he doing that? Because Krishna is more interested in seeing us come closer to him. Don't worry, that person will get their book. Many times I have people, I go out with 20, 30 people, you know, to do on-the-job training out there on the street. So we do workshops on the street. So they approach somebody, they don't buy the book, then they walk up to me and stop them and sell them the book. And at the end I ask them, my dear sir, you just talked to somebody over there in the book. And they said, no, that was a completely different thing. That was totally different. Now I try to explain to them, no, it's the same thing, it's the same book, it's the same people, it's the same movement. But you know what? If your consciousness and their consciousness is different, for them it's a different thing. It's a different universe altogether. So the point is, our consciousness really matters. That's what people are picking up on. Now don't worry if this doesn't make any sense, don't worry. Krishna is very kind and he gives us the initial bonus, you know, of just moving out there and getting the books out. After a while he puts the bar higher and higher and higher. But initially the slogan is, Sankirtan is fun and easy. Can you repeat after me? Sankirtan is fun and easy. Now do you believe it? That's the question. You don't. You feel it's tough. You feel it's difficult. Huh? But actually it's very fun. And it's very easy. If you don't have any expectations. You see? The point where I get off, now I get back to my topic. How to make you feel good, right? Because that's what the bottom line is in this world nowadays, isn't it? If it makes you feel good, do it. If it smells right, if it looks right, then do it. Okay. So, if you want people to like you, what do you have to do?
Smile.
Yes. That's part of it. Be your truly happy, jolly self. Yes. What else do you have to do so people will like you?
Praise them.
Praise them. Very good. I like you. What else?
Be simple.
No. Simple, that's, simple is off. Simple is not on the menu. Yeah. Nowadays it's sophisticated, complicated, and you know.
Assertive.
Assertiveness, that's not liked. That's not accepted. No, that's very bad. Even better than listening. You ask people for advice. Everybody will love you. Make it very simple. You smile, you ask people for advice. What else? You give them respect, and you give them money. Everybody will love you.
Give some percent, they're lucky.
Yes.
Give something, they're lucky.
Yes.
What was the third thing you said?
You give them respect, and you give them money. That's the sure way how to win a million friends in 3 weeks. Now if you want people to hate you, just in case, you like to know that.
Ask for a loan.
You ask people for money. You see how fast the mood of the conversation drops to an all-time low. You give people advice. You make a sign around your neck which says, free advice, all day. And you walk around in the temple with that sign. Everybody will really hate you. And everybody will avoid you. Huh? You're arrogant. You display arrogance. And you're morose. You're kind of grumpy, you know. Always kind of like, you know, ready to exude really down and out attitude. So in this way, everybody will hate you. In no time. Doesn't even take 3 weeks. It takes 3 days and you're successful. So, I've just given you the clues on how to win a lot of friends and how to make a lot of enemies. But this course is not about this. This course is about book distribution. So we're getting off the topic. So you should correct me. I'm meant to be serving the objective here. So, it is 8:20. and I wonder how long we're supposed to carry on tonight. What is the timeline?
8:30. 8:30.
Okay, so we wrap up here and then we see a video clip. So we touched on a few topics today. What are the topics? Can you sum up? Three things. Don't just close your books. Close book test now. We hand out the sheets, you know, close book examination. We want to hear from your heart. We're not looking for rote repetition. I know, in the school systems nowadays, it's like you take the book, you eat it, and then you spit it out at the right moment, and you get a good mark. But that's not what we're going to ask you. We just want to hear what's stuck in your brain and in your heart from these 2 hours. Yes?
Age
of book distribution. What else?
Principles and values of book distribution.
Principles and values, yes. What else?
Behavior.
What else?
Consciousness
is the most important thing. What else? Always smile, okay? What else?
How we dress is important.
How you dress is important, yes. Whether you wear shoes or not. Exactly. If you love people, yes. Winning people's hearts, what else?
Always
better service, yes.
For our own purification.
Prophet's movie was there, yes. Praise them.
Biggest fear of rejection
and how to overcome it.
Reality check.
We're distributing my 3 points. One is the book, then speak about the book, and finally 10 points. What about the effect from it?
What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Your expectations. Okay, did you feel we covered some ground today?
Yeah.
Okay, you feel good about yourself? You feel good about your teacher?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't care about that, but still thank you. No, I do. I'm just saying. Sometimes you have to do the right thing. And it's not about feeling good about yourself. Everybody will say, this is wrong what you do here. Why are you out on the street here pushing this Bhagavad Gita? Don't you know Lord says in Gita, you shouldn't disturb the mind of the innocent? It's exactly what you're doing. You're going out there and you're telling everybody and you're upsetting everybody. Have you ever heard that argument? You have. What's the answer to that argument, Maharaj? Please tell us.
That's the whole mission. You are
upset people. Huh?
That's the mission. You are upset people.
Our mission is to upset people. Srila Prabhupada said, first of all, what you do is you say, my dear sir, you're a gentleman and a scholar. You look like you're a schoolmaster. You know? What do you call him?
School teacher.
Yeah, school teacher. Like that. So first you praise them. Then you say, you have so much knowledge, you know so many things, this and that and the other thing. Now please, give up all your nonsense. And just say to the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may say it slightly different, depending on our level of realization and our level of purity. But Srila Prabhupada came out quite strong and quite direct. Now if you're elderly or you're a young boy, you can say pretty much and do pretty much anything. People won't mind. But if you're middle-aged, people will take offense. They will get upset. So unless you're, you know, below 10, everybody thinks, oh, this is cute, you know. This is kind of nice. Let him do his thing. Like I have a friend, he's in Melbourne Temple. This is devotee's son, Indian family. And he's 8 years old, and he's always in the temple courtyard running around selling books, just waiting to get that person to give that Bhagavad Gita to. So people think it's great. And if you're kind of like, you know, 60 plus, then people also think, oh, you know, he's Dadu. You have Dadu status, you know, then you're okay. You can just do whatever you like. But in between, we have to be more careful in what we say and how we say it. So, thank you for your attention. We're going to hear some more. from Srila Prabhupada. And I'd like you all to be back here tomorrow at 10 o'clock sharp. For the second part of the seminar. Spend all the money of the world. Unfortunately, you do not give us the money. Okay. There's a couple of minutes left. If you have some questions, please feel free to ask them now. Yes. We should
be perfect ourselves before we meet something to anybody.
Now, like in the Indian school system, the question is whether we should perfect ourselves before we teach others. In the Indian school system, whatever you have learned, you can teach it to others. So if you're in third grade, you can teach the kids in first grade. If you're in fifth grade, you teach the other grade. So whatever you have read, you can teach it to others. You may not have read all the books and understood everything. Just like you might be a pharmacist, you might not have tried all the medicines in your store, but you have tried some of them, and you know that they work, and they are a reputable company. So you have the faith that this works. Just like that. Because otherwise it's a vicious circle, you know? You have to be purified in order to go out and preach. Now by preaching you become purified, but you can't get out to preach because you're not purified. So when you start, you know, it kind of never happens. So at one point you have to start doing it. And even though right now we might act slightly above our pay grade, meaning that we're not yet there, but imitation of a good thing is a good thing. And if you do it in a humble mood, you know, nobody will object. And if you don't know something, just say, sorry, I don't know that. And people will be impressed. And they will buy the books because you were honest. Some other point?
Even if you get into the system not knowing fully well that you have reached that level, getting into the system itself, making an attempt to get into the system will definitely improve your mental status and
yes.
You can keep developing it.
Just like sometimes you come to Kirtan and you don't feel like dancing because you're in a grumpy mood. It's one of those days, you know? You put tilak on and it went all in the wrong direction. And then it was nice, and then you put your shirt on, and then it again went much, you know. One of those bad hair days, where things just go wrong all the time. And you stand in the back, you're not too happy. But then you see some devotees are dancing. So what do? You start dancing. Even though your mind says, I'm not in the mood, I don't want to dance.
You do foot tapping first and then.
Yeah, foot tapping, then you start moving your arms, all of a sudden you're dancing. Little bit artificial in the beginning, but all of a sudden it becomes natural, like that. Other questions? Silence means consent.
Do we also have a practical session?
Practical session? You mean we all go out to Coimbatore and we hit the street? That all depends on you.
So many questions that are universities, education institutions. So if anybody is working tomorrow, maybe they can get half an hour to actually get the benefit of seeing you.
I'll show you some videos. I think that's a little bit more productive, because if I want to get 50 people out there into one place to see what I'm doing, it might be quite scary for the people. They will become slightly uneasy, slightly disturbed. So I think we're going to do it here. But we'll have some other job training also.
We can do a little role play.
Yeah, definitely. How to present Bhagavad Gita on Summer Marriage, you're going to have some role play. And you'll see some videos also about distribution.
One question from how much time we should spend in a customer?
Anytime from a few moments up to a few minutes. Usually it doesn't take more than maximum 5 minutes. If you have somebody who's really sincere and really interested, I might spend 10 minutes. But it happens only like once or twice a day. But now if you are doing door-to-door in your neighborhood and the people know you, you have to spend a little more time. It's a different environment. So it all depends time, place and circumstance. If I'm on the street, it's very quick. Because, you know, look at the place. It's like people got, you know, buses to catch and jobs to work and life to live. But if you're in a home environment where people are comfortable, sometimes, you know, I've seen it helps. This is why door-to-door is such a great thing. Now, devotees are sometimes scared doing door-to-door. But this is our tradition, you know. Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they went door-to-door. Bhatta Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. Yes,
so
Maharaj.
What if we have people actually going, spending 10 minutes preaching but not selling the book?
Yeah, that doesn't work, you see.
So
that doesn't work. That's why we're going to show you in the practical demonstration there is a step-by-step guide on how it has to be done.
I think what he's asking is when do you break off?
When you break off?
Like this guy is not a customer for me. Will you break off such guy?
Yes, definitely.
Can you do that?
No, you definitely. We come to that tomorrow in the practical application. When to break it off, how to break it off nicely so nobody gets upset. So people are happy, you're happy, everybody walks away happy.
You said, well, we have to take the people along and help them across the bridge.
Yes.
So sometimes they don't have patience.
And then you drop them like a hot idli. And they break.
So sometimes you what to do, you're like that and you can't help them cross.
Sometimes it happens. You might say win some, lose some, it's unfortunate, but it's a matter of fact. When you endeavor, every endeavor is covered by fault, like fire is covered by smoke. At the end of the day, you have to be thankful to Krishna for whatever he allowed you to do. Whether it be one book or 5 books or 500 books, you have to put your head to rest and be thankful to Krishna. Because otherwise, if you're not, and you think, oh, this went wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong, it means you're telling Krishna, hey, you know, you didn't do your job properly, I endeavored so hard, and you were just not really making it happen, you know? So then what happens next day, Krishna will give you half of that. And see, how does he react now? He's watching, you know? Endeavor, if honest, means in a detached way, but at the end of the day, be thankful for whatever the Lord has given you. And the next day, you go out and you try to do your best you can. And again, be thankful for whatever Krishna has given you. But of course, there's a little sadness in the heart sometimes, because sometimes people are so close, and they actually want the book, but we can't give it to them. Just because we have not chanted our rounds properly, we have not performed our sadhana properly, we don't have that real connection with Krishna, you know, to impress them, to take them that little, last little bit, you know. Now I know the techniques, I know what it takes. If somebody is near to the finishing line and he can't make it, I just pick him up and walk with them over the finish line, and then I put them gently down and move them on. But sometimes it backfires. Because if I do that simply by technique, and not by spiritual inspiration, and not by maturity, some people will object, and they will get upset. Now I'm still doing it, because I'm more determined to give this person a book than he is determined for sense gratification. And that's why he has to take the book. But if you know the art of inspiring people from the heart, it's much more wholesome, it's much more holistic, and it will go on in a prolonged period of time. Then you have to see if he's got, you know, like, how much is your Bhagavad Gita costing here?
175.
165. Okay, so the fellow has 120 or 150 rupees. He's a student. He's really desperate. He really wants the book. You say, no, that's principle. We don't give the book below the cost because he won't be able to appreciate. No. The fellow can appreciate, and that's all he's got. So you give it to him. Don't worry, Krishna will give you that other Lakshmi. Somebody else will give more. You throw it in, whatever, whichever way. Somebody might sponsor some books like that. Don't be too tight, you know, too rigid. Sometimes you have a fellow, he's got 5,000 rupees in his pocket and he wants to get that 10 rupee discount and you just don't want to give it to him.
Yeah.
Because you know, he's just trying to abuse you. He's just trying to push you down and down and down and down. And no matter how much discount you give him, he'll ask for more discount. Just as a game, you know. So then you just stand your ground. And you say, no bargaining, that's the price, take it or leave it.
What so, if the man is poor and he's really interested to take the book?
Then you see, we have small books, we have very inexpensive books. You know, everybody can give something. Even poor people are spending money like anything, on so many things. So always see that if the person really wants it, they'll be ready to give.
In other words, you say you should never give a book free?
Sometimes it does happen. Sometimes it does happen, but we have what's called Shastra Dana, where we have sponsored books for like colleges, schools, prisons, libraries, institutions, or less fortunate people like that. So there should be programs where we collect money to distribute books to such occasions. But not because I am too weak and I can't really impress this person and I can't really ask this person to give something. That's why now we're just giving it free. No, that's the wrong perception of it. Because everybody's poor in this world. But, you know, be considerate. Just try to give him whatever is adequate and see that the person can take something and give something. That's my mood. I want to give everybody something. Become an ambassador of goodwill. Sometimes a person can only take a smile, or they can only take an invitation card or some prasadam or a small book, never mind. We'll get more into the practical. I see you have a lot of practical questions. We'll deal with that. We'll get into that right first thing tomorrow morning. Some other questions?
Some people just take the book without us saying anything.
Yes.
So, I asked them why you have taken the book. They say, Muslims have Quran, we have other things.
Yes. Then you might say, hey, wait a moment. It's not acceptable. You have to listen to me. I want to preach to you now. You have to go like this, like this, like this, like this. That's how I learned it in the class. No. If he wants the book and he just wants to give the money, let him do that. Let him be happy. So many people have, you know, preset attitudes and dispositions. We can't change that. You can only do what you can do.
But down the line, Prabhu, I think you can always approach the same person who has just bought the book for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Ask him at least whether he has made an attempt to go through the pages at least.
Definitely, definitely you should do that. Definitely you should do that.
Definitely, whatever must be the money he has spent, whether he has got the intention of reading it or not, I'm 100% sure he will flip through the pages at least to see the photograph.
Yes.
If not anything else.
That will happen because you are a devotee and your desire is strong.
No,
so you
are not a devotee when you generally buy a book.
we just flip the pages like that to see whether there is anything
interesting. What I'm saying is, even if the fellow just says, okay, here's the money, I take it, that's better than to say, no, you don't deserve this, or, you know.
Yeah.
What is our position? How can we say who deserves and who's sincere and not?
Yeah.
We can't. And
many
times the person who buys the book is not the person who reads the book, is not the person who becomes the devotee. Like, just on the point of free books, I know personally, and I won't mention any names because I don't want to embarrass people, I know many devotees who got their first book free. Some of them stole their first book. They were stealing it. And they're still here today trying to repay what they have taken. You understand? They have to pay with their lives, you know? They thought, oh, let me get this for free. And 20 years later, they're still here trying to repay Srila Prabhupada for what he has given. So we are not the person who can judge who is sincere, how much a person is interested or not, because we might misjudge. But we should always just give them the benefit of the doubt and try to inspire them. Please read it. You know, it'd be good for you. Like that. Last question and then we wrap up, because I really don't want to go over time.
So you say that consciousness creates reality.
Yes.
Sometimes we
desire
things clearly known from the
hindsight.
Sometimes we desire things.
Yes.
And we don't want that.
Yes.
So the process, you know,
the process is called Krishna consciousness. Anartha nivritti. It's the process of Krishna consciousness. You introspect, you become more aware of what desires are there, which ones are beneficial, which ones have to be given up. It's the general process of Krishna consciousness.
Is there a point that Krishna used only the positive things and not the negative things?
Where Krishna?
Used only the positive things and not the negative stuff.
Where he gives only the?
Positive things.
She said, yes, I'm a propagandist. However you surrender, that's how I reward you. If you want stuff, I give you stuff. You know, the Lord has two questions to us. When you face the Lord, I was just there up on the hill in Tirupati, in front of Balaji. And I saw it very clearly. Krishna has two questions to us. Number one is, what is it that you want? And number two is, are you finished with your business here in the material world? Okay, that's your homework. You think about that till tomorrow. On that happy note, I got some Mahaprasadam here from Balaji, from Tirupati. So thank you for your attention and your patience. I'd like to see you back here tomorrow at 10 o'clock for the second part. We'll get into the action part, how to present Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. It's going to be some skits, some workshops, some videos, some questions and answer sessions. So please come prepare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, a small announcement and a clarification. Since we are supposed to carry on the session tomorrow also, and tomorrow is a Sunday, it's a holiday, and maybe different people are thinking differently, and we have requested you to come here at 10 o'clock. So if somebody will not come or somebody is finding difficult, you can pronounce now so that we can change or we can stick to it and we don't lose session. Our original plan is 10 to 1 and then 2 to 5. This is our original plan. So anybody, if they are feeling difficult, if they are having any problem, you should let me know so that we can shift the timings differently. And we are also again thinking of conducting another session on Monday, 10 to 1 and then 6 to 8:30. So many of you were late for today's session. We started about 6:20 almost, everybody to come in. So I will take an extra minute to have your input so that we are sure that tomorrow at 10 o'clock everybody is here on time. If you are going to come late, then better. Even if you want to stretch, by how much will you be able to stretch?
Huh?
instead of 10, how much can you stretch?
No, it depends. If we are about 50 or odd people, 55 people will tell me that the more we need. 10 o'clock is fine.
We stayed in the class, but only request is on Monday session, I may not be impacted. If there is anything, if you want them to increase the timing.
What about Monday evening?
Monday
evening is fine.
Monday morning. My education on Monday is, what did you tell them about?
Monday
session is the optional session.
You will not miss the continuity. It is not that, you know, if you miss Monday session, then you are missing something and it will be difficult for you to follow in the evening session. No, it is not going to be. Monday morning session, it will be something different class for entirely different courses.
So, but you will benefit if you
come. Yes.
No doubt. But the session will continue, the continuous portion of the session Monday evening. But an optional bonus session on Monday morning.
So,
I strongly advise you join that.
So, we presume that all of you will be punctual and will be here at 10 o'clock. Is it okay?
Yes.
And we have a loud Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!